Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there, I'm Steph.
And I'm Simon.
And welcome to The Food Fight, where we offer a different perspective on food culture issues around Australia and the world.
We'll talk with chefs, producers, business owners and experts to hear their stories and find out what makes them tick.
This is a Small Bites episode where we talk about cultural areas and the different types of ethnic food available in our region. All right, welcome to another Food Fight podcast. My name is Steph Postuma. Thank you so much for joining me. Alongside me, as always, is the Welsh rarebit himself, the cheese on toast, the creamy, succulent spring lamb himself, Simon Evans.
Not just cheese on toast, Welsh rarebit. People say that. It's like, oh, it's cheese on toast, and it's not cheese on toast.
It's like, cheese on toast, everyone.
It's basically like, it's a mix of like beer, like Worcestershire sauce, good cheese, flour, and you make like a thick, doughy, cheesy sauce paste, and you put that on toast.
Right. Yeah. So it's thick, doughy, cheesy sauce paste on toast.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's rarebit.
Really selling it. it's really fucking delicious. Do you make a good Welsh rarebit?
Of course I do.
Yeah.
When I worked in Wales, the restaurant I worked at Apollon, we wouldn't put on the menu because it's one of those ones where like everyone's mamgy and nangy, like nonna and fucking whatever else in Italian, always makes the best one. So if you put it on, everyone will come in and be like, it's not as good as mamgy's.
Yeah, right.
So you can't win. Same as like we wouldn't put any of these like overly traditional Welsh things on.
Is there absolutely no way that you could make one that's just undeniably better?
You could. I think I'd have the confidence to do it. Maybe the owners didn't quite have the confidence to do it.
Do you just, when you have Welsh rarebit, do you just have it like by itself on a plate? Like, does it come with stuff? Like, or does it go well with eggs? Or like is it like a,
yeah,
I mean, maybe a bit of ham or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, you have like, that. I mean, normally it would just be a bit of a snack, like a good snack. Like a bit of salad, dress salad would be nice.
A bit of watercress.
Yeah,
it's,
that'd be nice.
It's a bit of a process though, just for a snack. You might as well eat cheese toast.
What you do is you make your mix up, you wrap it up like you would like a log of butter. And then you can just chop a slice off, chuck on your toast, chuck under the grill.
Really?
Yeah, because once you chill it down, you can like send like a log.
Yeah, right.
So then you're good to go. So you make a batch, have it in your fridge every morning, chop, chop. I mean, it'd be good. You could put it on. I mean, if you really want to ruin an oyster, you could put it on oyster. But if you like Kilpatrick, it'd be delicious on like, you know, something like that.
Do you know, I have recently got amongst, not Kilpatrick, but like I made bacon jam. And put that on oysters. And like just a small amount and then under the grill on warm oysters. And it was a rip-off of an old dish we had on a menu in Canberra. But it's just like the bacon jam's just like speck and red wine vinegar and brown sugar and fennel seeds.
It's like Kilpatrick tastes delicious, but it doesn't really taste of oyster. Like it's delicious because
But it kind of does. And the reason that I did this, right, was because, and it was for Christmas, I just thought I'd do some different styles of oysters. And it was because I ended up at this fish market to get my oysters. I ended up at this fish market that I hadn't been to before. And I'm like, surely they're going to have unshucked oysters. Because that's like my thing that I do. Every Christmas day, I'm like, I get Christmas morning, I start shucking oysters. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. And they only had already opened oysters. That's all they had. I know. And like, I was like, oh fuck, I don't know what these were. And I'm like, where are they from? They're like, I don't know. They would have just come straight in from the city markets, like sealed over the top, like
all right.
cling sealed and shit. And And I like the. There's a chance that these won't be that good, so I'm going to hedge my bets
make
and
make them taste like something else.
Try to make them taste like something else a little bit, but it was good. Like it was actually good. Like the oysteriness and the oysteriness and a bit of bacon jam. Yeah. It was pretty good.
Like I don't know why I'm so against it because I'm not like the biggest oyster fan. Like I eat them from time to time, but I can't eat like a shit ton.
Really?
So I don't know why I'm so against. Making them not taste like an oyster. It just ruins the essence.
No, but it is the thing. Like, yeah, I understand it. And I am an oyster sort of...
Purist.
But I don't know. Just that experience over Christmas sort of was like, there was something to it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I was forced into a position that I didn't intend to be in with the oysters that I had. But that was still all right.
Part of your food culture is oysters.
My food culture.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what we wanted to talk about for this More Bites. We didn't intend on just talking about Welsh rarebit and oysters Kilpatrick. It's funny. We could do a whole thing. Like, we should do another Small Bites that's just about Welsh food.
Yeah, I have quite a lot to say.
Yeah, I'd love to talk about Welsh food because I love learning shit like that, like interesting things.
Yeah.
I think the cool thing when we talk, especially in these conversations, is like obviously I'm not a chef, but I've got a bit of experience with food and stuff like that. But having that experience in Europe, it is vastly different to what it's like in Australia a lot of the time. So
yeah, I mean, it does still dictate a lot of how I cook here and my thoughts about food.
Yeah.
Even though I've cooked longer in Australia professionally than I did in Wales.
Yeah.
Which is the weird thing.
But it's also, I don't know, like I feel like unless you're a Hestonophile, British food isn't something you hear that much about here. Like, I mean, people know, fucking fish and chips and mushy peas and, you know, fucking Yorkshire puddings and shit, but like there's a whole world out there. And
I think it's UK is coming to its food identity, same with Australia. It's a bit kind of hazy and fuzzy, which is why I think Australia and the UK gravitate to cultures that have a fairly well defined food history and culture, which I think will be a good little segue into you recently went to
what were we going to talk about? No, but hold on, let's finish because we're talking about like little cultural quirks and little cultural places to do with food. Like this is off the back of me just going to Cabramatta on the weekend, but talking about these little cultural places, is there anywhere like you've found in Wollongong or Sydney or since you've been in Australia where you can go and you feel like all right, this is, they're doing like British food properly here? Like
no.
No.
The place I haven't been there. I keep meaning to go. The Duke of Clarence.
Okay.
In Sydney.
Right.
Is it a pub? It's the same. Yeah. Well, it's the same guys who own Lobo Plantation, I believe. I could be wrong there with which group it is. But the main guy, the owner, he's British. And you can tell that a British person has done this. So it's all decked out like an old London pub. Looks beautiful.
Love it.
And then on the menu, they got all these like British classics. And I can tell that a British person's done it because they've had curry nights there. And that is the most British pub thing to have. And only like a Brit would think of that. If someone else was doing like an approximation of British food in a pub, they would not think to do a curry night. But there's like nothing more British than the Wednesday curry night.
Yeah.
So I just love that.
What does
that.
A curry night look like at a pub?
It's
what, like a few different ones, or you got one main one?
You'd have a choice of a couple, and you'd get almost like, I mean, it'd be like a tally kind of plate. So you'd get some poppadoms, your little writer, and your little like pickles, and all those little bits, and you get a naan bread, and your curry, and your rice.
Naan bread, he said it.
No, yeah. What?
Naan means bread, so you just said bread.
Yeah.
It's like ATM machine.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway,
Barn bun.
Yeah. So anyway, you've got, so keep going. So that's what a curry night looks like. You get a bit of everything.
Yeah, yeah. And like, again, there's...
Are they popular? Everyone heads down for curry night.
Like Weatherspoon's curry night is like super cheap and pretty good. Like the guy who owns Weatherspoon's is a fucking cock.
Yeah.
But he does have...
Shout out to Weatherspoon's.
But Weatherspoon's will be in every town. If you don't know where else to go, jump into Weatherspoon's, use their free Wi-Fi, have a £1.20 pint.
Yeah.
Prices may vary. And then use their Wi-Fi to find a better pub.
Yeah.
Like, but it's consistent. But like most pubs will, like, you know, independent to chains will have a curry night.
Yeah.
Because Indian food is so popular in the UK.
Yeah.
So that, like, again, and that's just kind of what British food is really, is is this amalgamation of things. Like, there's some very classic old British recipes which use these spices from around the world from when we were just taking everything over. And something like what was it, like coronation chicken, which chicken mayo and curry powder.
Yeah.
There's these weird little tweaks of this.
Is that what they put on sandwiches?
Coronation chicken sandwich. Delicious. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, and then you'd have you see these old British recipes that would just have like soy sauce in them, or soya sauce. So there's a big amalgamation, but so there's not and kind of the very kind of very British food is probably only something that's really come along in the last 20, 30 years of refining recipes and refining ingredients. So it's very hazy, but there's a resurgence of that typical British food.
Well, we should head up to this Duke of whatever it's called.
I've been keen to go for ages, like since I've seen it. It's just, been busy for 4 years.
Well, we'll talk to your mate who's working there, who's running the joint.
Yeah,
I'd froth out on Yorkshire puddings
we'll get him on.
Bacon sarnies.
Yeah. Talk about quirks of British food, like the curry night.
Yeah, so anyway, we're talking about little cultural things in this podcast because I just went to Cabramatta over the weekend for the first time. I've been meaning to get there for ages. And for those who don't know, Cabramatta's the Vietnamese hub in Sydney. And I don't know, it's just a really, really awesome, authentic place to go and experience like another culture in your own backyard.
So I have not been. I have friends who go there, so on Chup Chup get a lot of their stuff from there,
yeah,
and they come back with some like crazy stuff. Like we were doing basically a little like tasting with them before we did our collaboration. They had all these herbs, all these spices, all these like fruit that literally like had never seen before, never heard of, and some of them were awesome. Like some were, you know, oh, that's kind of looks like tastes like this, but some were real unique. And just amazing flavors.
Yeah.
And I wish I would remember what they were.
You just got to go to Cabramatta, mate, and just buy a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah, same thing.
It's interesting, the seafood markets there as well are just like wildly, like the variety that's available there is just so different to what you can find at our fish markets, because consumers make different choices in Cabramatta than they do here. And it's pumping. The whole place is pumping on a Saturday. Mm. Like it's so busy. Every restaurant's just like flat out. There's lines out the door of places, the seafood markets. But like, talk about like all the different shellfish and stuff that are available, like these little whelks and cockles and to these huge, huge sort of conch shell looking things. I don't even know what most of it is, you know. And then like really, really cheap stuff as well. Like they had mullet for like $2.50 a kilo, like, or something like that. It was like $10 for 4 kilos.
Yeah.
Or like, I think I took a photo of some blue mackerel that was like out of control cheap, But the restaurants like are the most like typically, I've been to Vietnam a couple of times and they're just so authentically Vietnamese.
Mm.
I think the name of one of the ones I went to was Phu Trong. I went to this other one called Pho Tao Bay, I think it's called. Anyway, I apologize if I get those names wrong. There's a couple of places that are quite well known and they're just so delicious. We got at this first place, it was kind of like a bit of a make your own rice paper roll setup.
Mm.
And you can order a few things to fill those with. Like they'll give you a big basket of like herbs and bean sprouts and pickled carrots,
Subway,
and things like that.
Same.
No, you make it at the table yourself.
Oh,
they don't make it for you.
There's no, okay, right. So not as good as Subway then.
Better. Because they give you they give you all the stuff and you just make your own. And we got
to be your own artist.
Yeah, you get to be your own artist. Mm. And then we got like the main proteins, whatever, we had to fill it with these prawn sugarcane sticks.
Yeah,
cool. That were like a, you know, like a prawn mousse or something like that was steamed on a sugarcane stick, and you slice them up and put them in your rice paper rolls hot. And the other thing that we got were these crispy spring rolls that, like, the guy was like, you should put these in your rice paper rolls. And we were like, thanks, Will.
Yeah.
you know, and they were fucking delicious. Such good stuff, such like just authentic Vietnamese flavors, obviously, in the restaurants and stuff. And it's just, I don't know. I just highly recommend people get out there. Like, I mean, there's not too much to say about other than it's just a really, really cool place to visit. Yeah. And it's just such a hive of culture. And for white boys like us, that are privileged enough to live in a place like Wollongong, where we've got our beaches and our towns and everything's, you know, hunky-dory and we live our bubble existence.
Yeah.
It's just a really great way to sort of get some perspective on the way of multiculturalism in Australia, because it is its own fucking world compared to where we live.
Mm.
Like, the whole economy is spoken in Vietnamese. It's not just, you know, it's not just people going out for dinner and things like that. It's like you imagine every single wholesale, every single supplier, every single thing. All the businesses also cash only. Bit of fun while you're out there. Not all of them, but most of them. But yeah, like, yeah, and there was a couple of places I haven't, I've been meaning to get to in Cabramatta, but one of them was closed. So it's definitely going to be worth making a trip up. So head there.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds, and to keep, I mean, Vietnamese food has a lot of different influences from around the world inherently in it. But I do love the fact that even with immigration around the world, people are still keeping those food traditions and those little food, creating those food hubs, and having that kind of connection. I think that's pretty awesome, and it's probably something that that British people try and do, but it's normally in the sense of it's a fucking Irish pub, or like some British people go to like a seaside resort in Spain and open a British pub and refuse to serve anything Spanish. It's kind of done in a much more pig-headed way,
yeah.
I always find. And yeah, it sounds like it's a...
But it's a factor of history, right? It's a factor of, like, you know, like Vietnamese refugee history here in Australia and the development of community, which would be interesting to look into the history of and things like that. But, yeah, like, we've got all sorts of different places. But Cabramatta's probably, in terms of something that's in proximity to us, it's like the biggest and most glaring, you know, hive of particular culture. But we have places like that around the Illawarra. So... with our history of the steelworks and of Eastern European immigration, we have a lot of Macedonian and Yugoslav culture here, which is seen in all the burek shops you might see.
Yeah.
There used to be three on one street in Cringilla. Now there's only two, but there used to be three. So one of them folded, but there's Bitola Burek and Five Star Burek that are like five doors up from each other. They've both been there for 30 years. And... they are still viable businesses, and all they sell, like one of them, I think one of them sells two types of burek, which one of them's meat and cheese, and the other one's meat. No, one of them's cheese and spinach, and then the other one's meat.
Yeah.
And then I went and talked to the guy at the other one, and they sell cheese and spinach, meat, and meat, cheese, and spinach. And I said to them, oh, you're doing the meat, cheese, and spinach? And the guy's like, mate, my son, he kept telling me you should do meat, cheese and spinach. And I said, mate, it'll never work. And I tell you what, the customers love it. We tried it one day and they love it, you know. So
the innovation.
So they've done it, you know, for the last 10 years out of the 30 that they've been operating, meat, cheese and spinach. And I'm allowed to talk like that, by the way, because I'm half Serbian. So don't jump on me from being cultural appropriation or anything like that. It was great. It's great. Yeah. Like, and they're all around. You've just got to find them.
For 30 years, you'd imagine they'd be pretty good at it as well. Mm. It's something that I haven't really explored in this area, that Middle Eastern food. And it's not something I think that I naturally gravitate to, having not grown up with anything like that.
Or Eastern European food, I mean. Yeah, but like I think that another place that I want to check out as well, which is somewhere you can come with me, is places like Lakemba and Punch Bowl and Auburn and stuff around Sydney, which like are the Middle Eastern hubs.
Yeah,
would love to go and check out some of the venues around there that are just doing like real, real simple. Simple and authentic Middle Eastern food, that'd be fantastic as well.
Yeah.
They all exist. You just kind of got to look for them and stuff. Because, like, I mean, going to Cabramatta, spending literally, like, it takes an hour to get from Wollongong. It's not very far. Mm. Spending half a day in Cabramatta, eating, checking it out, and stuff like that is just as rewarding and, like, you know, in terms of food, as satisfying as going to the city for a nice meal at a restaurant. Yeah, you know what I mean? It's an awesome experience.
Mm.
So, you know. Get out there, guys.
Yeah, go have a look.
There's also, I don't know, like obviously you've got Chinatown and all those sorts of things I think people are a bit more familiar with.
Mm.
But yeah, like having grown up in Canberra, Dixon is the Chinatown that everyone knows in Canberra and knows and loves in Canberra. Mm. And then I just got a shout out to Dixon Asian Noodle House, which is everyone in Canberra's favourite place to go get laksa or like any type of noodles or anything like that. It's
yeah.
just absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, we don't really have a centre like that in Wollongong, but I guess there is some...
Kira Street kind of is, I reckon, in a way, yeah, almost. There's a lot of Chinese eateries.
Yeah. I mean, with the kind of shopping, I mean, like Wan Long and Dong Fong, stalwarts in Wollongong, and you always see some interesting different things when you go there. Like, just have a little look in the freezer sometimes. You're like, I might get that.
It's great. Wan Long is fantastic. Yeah. I love it. Is there, like, obviously, we've got different histories of immigration, Australia and the UK, and we have a lot more Chinese and Southeast Asian immigration. Like, is there Chinatowns and like Southeast Asian influence there? Is it South Asian, more Indian and Pakistani? Obviously, like, you can find that.
Yeah, like, if you London, I still think, is probably the most multicultural city in the world. I know people talk in Sydney in those terms, but London, there really is just an insane mix of people, and also a massive population. So you can get whatever you want there, and there's different shops. Other areas, like up north, a lot more Pakistani and Indian immigration.
Right.
Wales has had quite a lot of Indian. We've had some kind of Polish immigration.
Right.
But I'm not sure if that's been long enough to translate to the food. So you don't really see it direct as much in regional Wales, more so in the cities, more so London and London specific. We just kind of probably get the better part of it, where just the average, you know, Indian restaurant in UK is really, really good.
Yeah.
But then you don't see as good kind of Southeast Asian, because we haven't had that immigration there. Mm. So yeah, but definitely in London, you can get access to, you know, any ingredients, any seafood from around the world.
London and sort of like major cities in Europe, like Paris and things, are actually like next level multicultural.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
as compared to Australia, yeah. I think. Like that's what I've noticed.
Yeah, well, it's just traveling the proximity. Like we are. I mean, except for maybe Southeast Asia. We are so far from everything.
Mm.
And then realistically, like, I mean, if you were talking, some parts of Southeast Asia wouldn't be that much further to the UK than they would to here. So, and you know, to Paris, to London, to even something like New York, you have just access to ingredients from across the world.
Yeah.
Like from you know, cheaper, you know, varieties of fish to your sort of premium, you know, truffles and foie gras and all these crazy things. So yeah, you definitely have this massive broad range that you have access to a fault, I think.
Yeah.
Sometimes going to be too much choice.
The other thing that I want to talk about for the last bit of this small bites is your local, like, you just reminded me of it then with talking about Polish immigration, but like in most cities, if not like small cities, potentially, like definitely in major cities, I know in Canberra, you've got your Polish club and like your Austrian club and your Hungarian club and stuff like that. And these places, for those who don't necessarily frequent these places, they are untapped places of like culinary delights a lot of the time, you know, like the Polish club in Canberra. It's like this low ceiling little brick fucking building, and it's just got all this Polish beer on tap, you know, like pierogies, pickled fish, you know, like,
yeah, quite pork, like quite traditional pork and quite out there stuff.
Yeah, like it's all stuff that you just never see on menus and order and things like that, and trying these sorts of different things and drinking the beer. And it's the same with the German club in Canberra. We used to play a bit of golf and like go to the German club. It was across the road afterwards for a beer, and you get a pork knuckle with sauerkraut and a fucking big pint of some sort of Bavarian something or other, and it's a fucking delight. The Austrian club was actually, got to get shout out to the Austrian club as well, because it was bugger. I can't even remember how much it was, like $30 or maybe a little bit less, but you get a a trio schnitzel. So you get a chicken, veal, and a pork schnitzel with sides, and it was like gigantic. Yeah. It was massive. But
that's awesome.
But yeah, and then obviously you've got all your awesome beers and stuff as well. And like it's just those sorts of experiences. I'm making myself want to go out and find these sorts of places.
I want to be in a schnitzel now.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got the German Club. Was it down in Dapto?
Have you been?
I haven't been. No.
Yeah, let's go.
Let's go. And then I've heard good things about the frat. Oh, yeah. As well, having just like good solid Italian food.
Yeah, they've got like wood fire pizza and shit like that.
I also heard like the Greek, what's the Greek club in Fairy Meadow? I think it's closed now.
Oh yeah,
I think it's like a Korean barbecue restaurant now.
Oh okay.
But I always heard that they had a great buffet.
Yeah,
and then it's gone now. So yeah,
it's funny, too late. In this sort of world of this food bubble that we live in, where like this Instagram bubble, where it's like these, like all your hip, cool new venues, modern Australian share plates, like fine casual, semi-fine, formal dining.
The cult of new in Australia, which is worldwide. I shouldn't pick on Australia again, but everyone's the new restaurant, the new thing, the new cool. Mm. There's definitely something to be said to visiting that restaurant that's been there for 25 years.
Yeah. Or visiting it for the first time, because like, you know, like I often will think, oh, like I want to go out for dinner, but you kind of feel uninspired as to where to go. You're like, like, okay, that made me too fancy. Like, oh, that's just another Italian place.
Go there
I've
again.
Had Thai fucking three times this week. Mm. I've had Indian a million times, but there's so much out there. Like you kind of just have to seek it out, because it's not going to be showing up in your Instagram feed.
And
it's not like, they're, you know,
their Google statistics aren't going to be quite up there to come across.
Let's try to make, I might sit down and take half an hour to make a list of little
resolution go to more random restaurants,
just a list of little cultural like options that there might be. There's it's all around,
not just the Luxor at Chef's Choice.
The Luxor,
I love it though.
It is good. All right, do you reckon that's enough?
Yeah,
I reckon we've done well.
Yeah, we'll report back with our findings of the local cultural hubs.
Yep, sweet,
done.
Thanks for joining us. Hello, dear listeners. Steph here. Thank you so much for joining us for another episode of The Food Fight. If you want to get in touch with us, it's at The Food Fight Podcast on Instagram or thefoodfightpodcast@gmail.com. We want to hear from you and we want to talk to you. Please leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. That really helps. If you want to hit me up, it's quicksandfood.com or at quicksandfood on Instagram. And if you want to get in touch with Simon, it's simon_evans_TBD on Instagram. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we'll catch you again with another episode.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.